Well, as you're settling back in, maybe you had a busy morning and you didn't really have a chance to pray. And so let's take a moment where we can all bow our heads and maybe just have a little talk with God and get our morning started well. So kids, go ahead and be dismissed, and then we're going to pray together. Just let you have some quiet time, and then I'll just close our prayer time out, all right? Let's bow together now in prayer. Father, our heart is lifted up to you in love and adoration for the words of these songs, for all that you've done for us and all you mean to us. Cleanse us and forgive us our sins, and Holy Spirit, come and be welcome in this place today as we listen and as we worship. In Jesus' name, amen. We're trying to discover how Christians were able to live so victorious, overcoming lives in the first century. We looked at some of that last week, and particularly we looked at a primary example of an overcoming life, and that was the Apostle Paul. Paul explained or showed to us, demonstrated to us through his life, how he became an overcomer in situation after situation. And we just enumerated a number of those last week as we looked at where are some places that maybe God can enable us to become overcomers. Last week, we learned that if we're a born-again Christian, we are overcomers. We are already overcomers in Christ. This week and in following weeks, we're going to turn to what I call the secrets that Paul had for living an overcoming, victorious Christian life. To not be down under his circumstances, but regardless of the circumstances, to have a positive, faith-filled outlook, and never to quit, never to flinch, never to turn back because of what was going on around it. The first that we're going to look at, Paul's first secret, is the secret of Christ in you. Christ in us is a secret Paul knew for having victory over his circumstances and over situations. I want to read to you from Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom, that is to Jesus, God willed to us to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, before we probe that, let me ask you just to use your imagination for a minute. And think about how you might be able to handle certain problems in life. Now, let's suppose you, for one reason or another, encountered a huge debt. A debt you knew you would really never be able to pay. Maybe you had to take over some health care payments, or maybe some tragedy happened, and you just have money, you owe money that you just can't imagine you'll ever be able to pay off. Now, I know some people today would just run to bankruptcy court and take care of it that way. But at least you're at the point where you would say, you know what, as much as I save, as hard as I work, I'll hardly ever make a dent in that debt. But fortunate for you, you have a very rich uncle. And so you contact your uncle and you explain to him the tremendous debt that you're in and just ask him if there's anything he can do. And less than a week later, you get a check that will pay off the full amount of the debt. Now you see, you overcame your problem, which was a mountain of debt. But you overcame it not in your financial strength, but in the financial strength of a rich uncle. I'll give you a second illustration to think about. Imagine you are facing a very, very important decision in life, and one you feel totally unprepared to make. You just don't know how to even figure out what you should do. But you're wise. And so you call upon somebody who you know is an expert in the area where you need to make a decision. They're extremely experienced, extremely wise, and extremely knowledgeable about that area of life. And so you discuss that with him or with her. And because of that person's wisdom, or their experience, or their knowledge, you come away from that conversation able to make what you know is the very best decision you could possibly make in that situation. You overcame your problem. You made the decision, but not based on your wisdom and knowledge, but on the wisdom and knowledge of an expert. Both of these examples illustrate a basic option that we have as people: to do things by ourselves, on our own, with what we've got, or when we can, to get help from somebody else who has resources or experience or knowledge or insight or even power that we don't have. When we say that Paul's secret to living victoriously is Christ in us, what we are saying is that we have somebody living within us who can enable us to make decisions, handle problems, and overcome challenges and get through situations that you and I by ourselves could not do. Christ in us is the secret to overcoming. And that person who lives within us is not just anybody, but it is the Son of God Himself living within us. And I think it's pretty clear from one of the passages that we read from Paul's experiences last week that this is exactly what Paul relied on to get himself through many of his challenges and struggles. You may recall when we read this, Romans 8:35 through 37, where Paul says, "Who will separate us from the love of God? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Paul had faced all of those. "Just as it is written, 'For your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' But," he said, "in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer." That's not all he said. "We overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us," through Jesus. And Paul was able to get through the difficulties and circumstances, negative circumstances of his life, because Christ was living in him and enabled him, empowered him, strengthened him to be able to make it through with a victorious spirit. Paul knew that Christ living in him was a key to living a victorious life. But not only Paul, but any believer who wants to become an overcomer can do so through Him who loved us, by having the indwelling Christ working through us. Now, it's interesting, Paul only references this idea of Christ in us just a couple of times in all that he wrote. He does have a lot more to say about a couple of other secrets that he'll reveal to us over the next few weeks. One of those is us in Christ, and how that can help us to have victory and overcome, that we are in Christ, not just Christ in us. Second one that he references frequently is the work of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And so we'll come back to those at some point. But Paul does clearly indicate here in, in Romans chapter 8, that one of the ways he managed to get through things was through Christ in him. So I want to look at two things that Paul says that help us to understand how Christ living in us can make a difference when we face challenges and difficulties. First of all, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says this, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That him is Jesus. So because Christ is in us, we have his power and strength available to us. Specifically, Paul was writing about a circumstance in which he had been going through a great deal of deprivation. He said to the Philippians, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. The specific situation that Paul was in, he was in prison, and he was in need, and sometimes he was in hunger. And the Philippians had sent a financial gift to him, and he was writing a letter back to thank them for the gift. But he wants them to know that he's okay, even if he doesn't get the gift. Why? Because he's learned to be content. Isn't that a challenge for a lot of us? Not to grumble, not to complain, not to think we need a little bit more, but to be content with such as we have. Paul says, I've learned to be content. And he goes on to say, you see, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul was able to overcome deprivation and need through the indwelling presence of Christ in his life. He got through all of this with a victorious spirit, not because he had a strong will, or he had a gift for self-denial, or he had a lot of strength to grit his teeth and move through and go on. But he did it, as he said, through the strength of the one who dwelt in him, Christ. And he wanted the Philippians and us to know that hunger and need are not the only challenges that Christ could help him through. See, if they were, Paul would have said in verse 13, I can get through this challenge through him who strengthens me. But what Paul said was what? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In other words, Paul is saying there is no challenge, no difficulty, no struggle, no obstacle, no problem that he would not have been able to get through victoriously because there was a person dwelling within him who could strengthen him and work through him. You may remember all the things that Paul got through last week when we looked at his experiences. He got through persecution. He got through threats. He got through an attempt to kill him, or maybe more than one. He got through abuse and physical suffering. He got through limitations in what he was able to do. He got through the fear of death. He got through ongoing pain. He got through frequent dangers. He was able to keep on doing what God wanted him to do without flinching, without being depressed, without giving up, without hiding in fear, without self-pity. Why? Because he learned, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Like that person with a mountain of debt that he or she cannot pay on his or own. The rich uncle can more than easily take care of that debt for him or for her, and the debt will be removed. And we face all kinds of situations that you and I can't deal with and still maintain a victorious spirit on our own. They're just too much for us. They're going to get us down. They're going to make us fear. They're going to keep us anxious. They're going to wrap us up in some tight ball of self-pity. But because Christ is in us, we have strength for every problem, every challenge, every need. We can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens us. So we may have to confess, I may not be able to do it on my own, but we can add, I can do it through Christ who strengthens me. Now, when I know that, it changes the way I look at my problems and my challenges. If I think, well, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, I don't know how I'm going to manage, because all I've got is me to take care of it. Well, I could easily get discouraged and defeated and depressed. But when I know that I've got dwelling in me the one who can let me get through everything, strengthen me to get me through everything, that I have a very different outlook on the things that come my way, right? Amen. That kind of optimism permeated Paul's life. He could be stoned and left for dead and then get up and go back in the same city that stoned him to death and preach the gospel there. He had somebody who was strengthening him. Well, the only way forward sometimes looks like we may have to leap a tall building in a single bound. And honestly, I have trouble leaping 3 feet off the ground. Some of you are a little bit better at that than me. And that's when I was young. Forget it now. No, man, if that problem is a tall building that I have to, the only way through it is to leap over that building in a single bound. I know who I want by my side, don't you? I want Superman. Because you remember, Superman can leap tall buildings in a single bound. All you got to do is wrap his arm around me and we can leap over that building. But you know what? I've got somebody even better than Superman. I have the Son of God. Not just standing by my side to put his arm around me and get me over the building, but living within me to give me the strength and the power to move through that problem and come out victoriously. So the first truth about Christ living in us is that we, because he lives in us, we have his power and his strength to overcome all obstacles. But the second thing Paul tells us about it is a little more curious. It's this verse over in Colossians chapter 1 that we read earlier, where he says, God may it willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, if you trace what Paul is talking about in this passage, he's speaking to a largely, if not exclusively, Gentile audience, non-Jews, the people of the Colossian church. And he's referring back to something that God had established from the very beginning, something God had planned from the very beginning, but it had been hidden from the view of people. That something that had been hidden, he calls a mystery. But it's now been revealed. And what is that? It's the revelation that God always intended for Gentiles to be included in the salvation of his Son, just as Jews were. Even though the promise was for a Messiah to the Jewish people, the promise was also that that would be, the Jewish people would be a blessing to the entire world. It was always God's plan for the Gentiles to be included in his family, to be part of his eternal kingdom. And so Paul is saying that you Gentiles are getting included in something that maybe a lot of the Jews don't understand. And it's been hidden from them. The gospel is now preached to all people, every kindred and tribe, not just to Jewish folks, no matter where they may live. But he doesn't actually say it quite that way, even though that's what he's talking about. What he says is, the mystery that's been revealed is what? Christ in you. Not just that you are being included, Gentile folks, and I'm one of them, but that the promise is that God would send His Son to live in my heart and my life. That's far greater than just being promised that we'd be part of His kingdom or part of His family. He's placing Himself within us to live within our lives. But notice what He calls it. Kind of an equal sign there between two phrases. He said, Christ in you, comma, the hope of glory. Take the comma out, put an equal sign. What He's saying is Christ in you is the hope of glory. Now, there are two words there we need to explain. One is glory. Clearly, there are two things in mind. One is that every born-again believer has the hope of heaven, a glorious place, the most glorious place that could ever be created is heaven. And we have the hope of that glory. But not only that, we have the hope that we will be made glorious, that we will share in the glory of Christ for all of eternity. You and I will be changed, and we will become God's glorious children in all that means. The other word is the word hope. And for us today, hope means something that we wish we could get, but we're not at all sure that we will. But the New Testament word for hope, or the New Testament use of the word hope, is always in the context in which it's something we don't yet have, but we know we will have. A hope is a confident expectation of receiving something that we don't yet possess. And so when Paul says, Christ is the hope of glory, Christ doesn't just put in our hearts, oh, I hope I get to heaven. Oh, I hope I could be a glorious child of God someday. No, He gives us the certainty, the assurance that that is going to be ours someday. And so you and I don't have to wonder or worry about whether we are going to share the glory of Christ. We don't have to wonder or worry whether we'll be in a glorious place or a horrible place for all of eternity. When Christ comes into our heart, Christ in us becomes the assurance that we are going to be with Him for all of eternity. And so hope is certainty here. Assurance of something that we don't yet have. And notice that to give us assurance of this glory and this hope, He didn't just write some promises down in Scripture. He didn't just do something in the clouds of the sky to spell out every believer is going to have glory someday. No, you know what He did? He put His Son in our hearts. That's how He testifies to the fact that we are going to have glory someday. That's the seal on the promise, that Christ is living in us. I don't know that you could make a better promise, that you could assure anybody any better of anything than what Jesus did, what God did with Jesus. He put Him in our heart and in our life. And so Christ in us provides for us the assurance, the certainty that glory will be ours in the future. Now, having hope, having certainty is one of the great things that helps us get through difficulties. Remember that one of the challenges Paul faced was that he might be executed for his witness for Christ. Now, the question is, what led him face that possibility, one that normally would be accompanied with a great deal of anxiety and fear and dread? What allowed him to get through that without being afraid or anxious at all? Well, he tells us, Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 24. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain, not loss. Gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is very much better, Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. How did Paul get through this threat of death, of execution? Very simply, Christ in him was giving him the assurance that he would be with Jesus should his life be taken from him. And he said, that's far better than what I'm having right now and experiencing right now. And so Paul experienced the power of Christ in him, giving him certainty and assurance of future glory, and that allowed him to just say, well, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I could be with him, and that would be far better. That same hope, that same assurance of a glorious future can help all of us. It can help us when anxiety would otherwise maybe take over, or fear would haunt us, maybe when dread would come over us. We can look at those situations and we can say, you're nothing compared to the glory that I'm about to have. The worst you can do is take my life, and then I'd be much better off. So I don't have anything to fear or to dread, because Christ is in me and he's given me the certainty, the assurance of future glory. And not only that, but when life gets hard for you as a Christian because you're a believer, like it got hard for Paul because he was a believer, I want you to remember something. People may spit at you today. They may call you names. They may revile you and despise you. They may hate you and persecute you. You may be rejected by the people you feel like mean the most to you in your life because you're following Christ. But guess what? Someday, you're going to have something far more glorious than you can imagine to enjoy for all of eternity. Sort of puts that those issues in perspective. That they're not that big a deal after all. I can live with the rejection. I can live with the hatred. Because that doesn't define me. I'm God's child. Christ lives within me. And I'm going to be in glory with him forever and ever. It can help. It also helps us, as Paul says over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that we don't have to grieve over the loss of a Christian loved one like others who have no hope. That same hope, that same certainty that we know that we are going to be in heaven someday, but also every loved one who is a Christian is going to be in heaven as soon as they die. They have departed and they're with the Lord. And so you and I don't have to grieve like there is no hope, because we know there's hope. We know there's certainty for that person to be enjoying life forever with Christ. As Paul said, in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. The indwelling Christ allows us to be a conqueror, to be victorious. Now, I've said, of course, that the Holy Spirit and Christ in us, and there are other secrets that Paul will reveal to us in the next few weeks. But one thing he wants us to know is that one secret he discovered in being an overcomer in life is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. And because Christ is in us, we have the strength to go through whatever God may send our way. And we have the strength to do whatever he may want us to do without getting discouraged, depressed, or defeated. And because Christ is in us, we have assurance that we are going headed for a glorious future. I am a child of God, and I'm going to be in heaven with him forever and ever. As Paul said, in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Do you have Christ in you? Christ wants to come to live in your life. He gave His life's blood on Calvary, on the cross, so that you could be forgiven and He could come to dwell in your life and change your life forever. But there's a condition. You must repent, Jesus said. That is, I have to turn away from sin. I can't hold on to my sin and receive Christ. And second, I have to receive Him as my Savior and my Lord. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. I'm going to offer you an opportunity right now to make a decision for Jesus Christ, to open your life to Him. And I'm going to ask a couple of our folks who know how to do it, how to explain very simply what it means to receive Christ as your Savior, to slip forward. And I'm going to invite you to come forward as others are praying. Just make your way to the front and say, Pastor Mark, I need somebody to show me how I can be sure that Christ is living in me, that I have eternal life, that I will be forever with God in heaven, that His promise of future glory will become a promise to me. So as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we're just very quiet right now. Heads are bowed. But if we can help you to do that, I want to ask you, slip out right now and let us know. Would you do that? Hi, Kathy. Hi, Kathy. Let me ask you, have you ever invited Christ to come into your life?
Oh, yeah. It's the rededication.
Okay. You know that Jesus really wants to be the Lord of your life, mm-hmm. right? And because He wants to be the Lord of our life, that means we have to step down off the throne. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we need rededication because we've gotten back on the throne. We've started to run our life again. Mm-hmm. We're not letting Jesus really run our life. Are you ready to let Him do that?
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to ask Sophanie to pray for you. Sophanie? Is that okay?
Oh,
yes. Kathy? I mean, Sophanie, this is Kathy. Kathy, this is Sophanie. She's coming this morning just to recommit her life to Christ. Would you two pray together for just a minute? You can do that right here. Do you need to come? I need to receive Christ as my personal Savior and Lord. Maybe you say, I need to come and unite with the church, or I need to come and follow Jesus in believer's baptism. I've been sitting on the fence for too long, and I need to get down on the side of God. Come. All right, thank you very much. Please be seated.